everyone. Our World Bank EdTech team is speaking with educators globally to learn how they're innovating. Today, World Bank Education Specialist Ekwa Bentil is speaking about leveraging blockchain and education applications within the Africa Centers of Excellence projects. She's speaking with project partners Yaz El-Hakim of Verify Ed, who's based in the UK, Saleh Matila of IBM, who's based in Nigeria, and Jerry Punyu of Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, who's based in Ghana.
My name is Ekwa Bentil, and I'm an education specialist at the World Bank. A major welcome to a special guest today. We have Jerry Punyu of the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, which is based in Ghana. We have Yaz El-Hakim of Verify Ed, which is based in the UK, and Saleh Matila of IBM, who is based in Nigeria. Hello, gentlemen, and it's a pleasure to have you all on today's podcast. Today, we will be having what I hope would be an exciting conversation highlighting our partnership journey with you and your institutions in leveraging blockchain in education applications within the Africa Centers of Excellence projects, popularly known as the ACE projects. To address some of the critical human development challenges in sub-Saharan Africa, the World Bank has partnered with countries in sub-Saharan Africa to provide more than $580 million through these ACE programs, which is a series of regional projects. The first in the series of projects, ACE 1, was launched in Western and Central Africa in 2014, but closed in 2020. Following the success of ACE 1, ACE 2 was launched in 2016 in Eastern Southern Africa. The third in the series, ACE Impact, was then launched in 2019 in Western and Central Africa and Djibouti in collaboration with the French Development Agency, AFD. Currently, there are more than 70 centers in 51 universities across 19 countries under ACE 2 and ACE Impact, which are ongoing. The College of Engineering at KNUSD, which is Jerry's institution, is one of our centers under the ACE Impact Project. And we're happy Jerry's here to join us to talk more about this. The ACE program aims to build the capacity of Africa's higher education institutions in delivering postgraduate and select undergraduate education to train a qualified and adaptable future workforce, including STEM education teachers for the basic and secondary education sectors, high-level scientists, engineers, and future governments, civil service, and business leaders, and to also generate new knowledge and solutions through applied research in priority areas such as digital education, health, including disease surveillance and genome sequencing, smart agriculture, climate change, smart and renewable energy, ICT, logistics, and transports. Based on funding through the Korea World Bank Partnership Framework, we embarked on a journey in 2019 to improve the digital skills of the students and staff of the ACE universities. We launched two interlinked pilots. The first was a digital skills gap assessment, and the second, for which we are having our discussions today, is a platform which we call the Learn Anything Platform and a recruitment dashboard from which students could access free courses to improve both the digital skills and soft skills and also benefit from the recruitment dashboard. Currently, through the pilot, we have digital transcripts that are being provided to students that are also accessible to recruiters. Although still in its pilot phase, this has blossomed into an ecosystem of partners from universities across Africa. We have about 6 universities now. And on the recruitment dashboard, we have Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, KNUST, from which Jerry comes from, and Moi University in Kenya. We also have employers that are seeking to recruit students. We have various content providers like IBM and FutureLearn, and also development partners like the German Development Agency, GIZ. So now to my esteemed guests, Yaz, can you introduce yourself to us, the role you play at Verify Ed? Tell us a little bit about Verify Ed and also briefly where Verify Ed fits into this pilot.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me today on this podcast. It's a real honor to be amongst such esteemed colleagues. My name's Yaz El Hakim, and I'm the CEO at Verify Ed here in the UK. We actually issue blockchain credentials for educational institutes, professional bodies, CPD providers, etc. Micro-credentials are effectively a constructively lined body of learning. So it typically has some learning outcomes attached to it, some learning activities, and some form of assessment to ensure that there's a constructively lined learning pathway, which can be evidenced as a small body of learning. So just as a simple example that we use regularly, complete degree would be a whole combination of lots of modules or courses around the world. And we try and look at each of those modules as being a micro credential that then can build into a macro credential of the degree itself or of a bigger course. In terms of blockchain, the basic way that I describe this to people is there are multiple people who hold the same records. So it is an immutable record or transaction that is linked to previous transactions and cannot be changed or tampered with in the future. Otherwise, everyone who's looking at that one piece of evidence, that one certificate in this case, if it gets changed by one person, the rest of the network who can see that certificate can say, hold on, that's being changed or tampered with from its original. The whole point of blockchain is that it removes that ability for things to be tampered with. So it improves transparency, creates immutability, and allows trust within that system to exist and grow. Through an ecosystem that we see as creating lifelong learning ledgers for learners around the world. We wanted to create this platform in order to benefit from using cutting-edge technologies such as blockchain to offer immutable and instantly verifiable credentials anywhere in the world and for free. At the minute, there are costs associated with verifying certificates and credentials, and we wanted to remove those by awarding blockchain credentials from the awarding institutions directly. We've been very honored to be part of this project, which we found to be very inspiring. In essence, we really are the platform underneath some of these aspects where we've aggregated the courses on the learnanything.io website, which affords any student within this growing program to be able to find micro-credentials by FutureLearn and by IBM aggregated in one location. And any completed micro-credentials, as well as the transcripts you mentioned earlier being issued on Verify Ed, allow all of those credentials to be aggregated under each individual's lifelong learning ledger for them to aggregate and grow their credentials through their learning lives. We also have developed, with all the partners that we just heard about, a way for those credentials to be instantly searchable in an anonymized and privacy secure way so that talent and skills can be identified and recruited to specific jobs, employment, and problems in the world that need people to solve them. So we can find some of the most voracious learners and recognize some of the most skilled individuals in order to help the employment situation in many parts of the world.
Thank you so much, Yaz. Sally, if you could introduce yourself, your role at IBM, tell us a little bit about IBM and its efforts in digital skills training and the role of IBM in this pilot.
Sure. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Saleh Maitala. I've been with IBM for 7 years now, and I currently lead the IBM Skills Initiative programs for Sub-Saharan Africa. Our mission is to empower African youth with digital skills and tools to help improve their lives and also to provide access to a wider range of opportunities. If you look at the world today, not just in Africa, but in Europe, in America, in Asia, there's a huge disconnect between what universities are teaching students and what the demand is from the industry. Technology is evolving at an increasingly fast pace with new concepts like blockchain, data science, quantum computing, artificial intelligence, and also new methods to approach cybersecurity, cloud computing, etc. And it appears very difficult for the universities to cope with this dynamism. As an active industry player, we as IBM see it as part of our role in society and corporate social responsibility to ensure that we contribute to the development of new curriculum that will train youth on skills that are in demand from employers. And to achieve this, we partner with organizations such as yours, the World Bank, Verify ED, the universities, government, and NGOs to be able to achieve this. For this particular pilot project, we have provided access to our flagship platform, Build for Africa, which is the IBM Digital Nation Africa, which has over 90 courses and 300 hours of learning for students to be able to upskill themselves on digital skills and all these exponential technologies so that they can become competitive in their societies. We hope to see more and more people going onto the platform and getting all the courses that we provide, and also with the technical resources that are available to be able to upskill themselves.
Excellent, Sally. Thanks so much for that explanation. Jerry, last but not the least here, tell us a little bit about yourself, about the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, which in short we call KNUST, and also the role of KNUST in this pilot.
Thanks, Ekua, and hello to everybody. My name is Jerry John Ponyo from the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, an associate professor of telecom engineering from the Faculty of Electrical and Computer Engineering. For the purpose of this particular discussion, the College of Engineering at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology has actually three ACE centers, one which focuses on water, the other one which focuses on transport, and the College of Engineering, which is an add-on. I am the deputy project lead as far as that particular project is concerned. Within the Faculty of Electrical and Computer Engineering, we have students in the Department of Electrical Engineering, Telecom Engineering, and then Computer Engineering. What is our role as far as this particular project is concerned? The College of Engineering focuses on training high-caliber graduates who are ready as far as the demands of industry is concerned. And over the years, the challenge has been trying to connect students directly to industry. And so as a result of the intervention of ECUA and some of the other guys at the World Bank, we had the opportunity to pilot this particular initiative, where we actually organize our students so that they can go through the requisite training and also be able to make themselves available as far as the available jobs concerned. We consider this as a very good initiative because in the university we have extraordinary talent, but connecting them to the right places in industry has always been a challenge. And this platform offers an opportunity to actually fill this gap. And so basically, that is me, Jerry John, and that is Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology and the role of College of Engineering as far as this pilot is concerned.
Thank you very much, Jerry. We've heard from three different players and partners within this network, which is the ACE program, where we have Verify Ed, which is responsible for developing the platform using blockchain technology and the credentialing aspects of that. And so they have this platform where the Africa Centers of Excellence universities are tapping into. And we have IBM that has provided these free courses where students can go on the platform, have access to the free courses, and then based on their micro-credentials and their digital transcripts online, we have the private sector or potential recruiters that can access these students' profiles and recruit them. So this is a great platform that we think can go a long way to influence change in our universities. I would like us to go around and talk about this. First, what was the initial draw? What excited you about participating in this pilot? And secondly, what do you see as the potential benefits for such an integrated platform from the perspective of digital content providers like IBM and also universities? I'd like to start with you, Yaz, if you could touch on this with respect to the blockchain technology aspects.
The initial draw was very clear that the vision of what this project could achieve was so ambitious, yet so strategically thought through, that it wasn't just another siloed part of the jigsaw puzzle. It was the whole picture and how we could build to that solution. There were two initial draws. One was the vision of what we were going to try and build to be able to have blockchain be embedded within this. And the second was actually the partners, drawing together the likes of KNUST, Moi, IBM, FutureLearn, and others, including the GIZ, regarding this recruitment functionality and dashboard. Has been a phenomenal vision that we are just really privileged to be part of. We really wanted to be able to help find voracious learners all over the world. We know that they exist all over the world. And this was a brilliant scoped project in order for us to prove the evidence on a manageable scale before moving beyond the initial institutions. So that was the initial draw. And the benefits are that you have a lot of learners who no longer are given a piece of paper with a logo on it where that reputation is said to be understood when it's handed over to an employer or recruiter. But we're now starting to unpick what an educational achievement means. What are the skills underneath it? What are the capabilities that the individual has gained? And how, when you aggregate that learning over a lifetime and across it, that you're able to actually identify the learning pathway or the learning journey of an individual to really demonstrate here is a constantly curious individual who has achieved many things educationally, but is able to also evidence some of the skills and knowledge gained through those experiences for a recruiter or for an employer to instantly verify and go, that's a lovely piece of evidence that really resonates with the role that we're trying to appoint for. And that's what, for me, the initial draw was the vision and the partners, as well as where we think we could generate genuine benefits from having immutable blockchain-based credentials.
Thank you very much, Yaz. How about you, Sally, from IBM's perspective?
I think Yaz has beautifully captured it, but also to build on what he said, the overall framework of the project addresses a critical component of a student's life after university, which is employability. And I also think to the point that I made earlier around the disconnect between academia and the industry. What we're seeing today is a lot of graduates will finish university with first-class degrees, with second-class, upper-class, but at the same time, there are no jobs for them out there. And the reason is we see employers also at the same time coming to the market and saying that we can't find the right graduates with the right skills. Being able to bridge that gap and provide a platform that gives a dynamic amount of skill sets or amount of courses that students can add on top of what they've been able to learn at university, it's a huge advantage. And I think it gives them an opportunity to be able to compete with people from not just in Africa, but also from Europe and America as well, and see how they can gain those opportunities. I also think that we saw it as an opportunity to collaborate with the other renowned edutech players as well as the World Bank to make a tangible long-term impact by ensuring that each participant has the basic technology skills required to succeed in the modern world by basically providing them with like an a la carte of courses where they can deepen their knowledge and skill set in all these technologies. It's a very wonderful thing for them, and we look forward to seeing the expansion of this beyond the initial scope of countries that we've selected so that more and more students will be able to benefit from this.
Thanks very much, Sally. How about you, Jerry?
Sally and then Yaz, I've hit the nail right on the head. The pool basically had to do with the potential that the platform offers to our students and the opportunities that it makes available as far as getting a job is concerned. We have very brilliant students, very talented students, but information as to which jobs are available and even information as to what skills need to be added to be able to meet the expectations as far as employers are concerned had always been missing. And so to have a platform where you can have interaction with employers and also know what you have and what more you need to know to be able to meet the expectations of the employer was indeed a fantastic opportunity for each and every one of them. It is the joy of every lecturer, it is the joy of people in faculty to see their students doing something that they find exciting when they have completed school. And for me, that is what this platform offers. That is the opportunity that this offers to our students. That is why we are committed to this course.
It's great to hear your perspective on this. Saleh, coming back to you, being in this business of digital education and digital skills, what do you see as future trends of online learning and micro-credentialing, especially in light of the COVID-19 pandemic and the impact this would have on the way people learn, especially in sub-Saharan Africa?
I think the pandemic has drastically changed the way we see education and how students consume it in the future. A case in point is with IBM and our delivery of technology training for students and faculty. Prior to the pandemic, most of our trainers and instructors had to travel to several locations and universities to deliver bootcamp sessions to a small group of faculty. However, during the pandemic and with the introduction of virtual training, it allowed us to reach far more students and faculty in one training, providing flexibility of learning for the participants, opportunities for networking, and cost savings in terms of logistics for everyone involved, as you can now learn from the comfort of your living room. Also, given the unstable nature of power supply in Africa, the recorded sessions provided an opportunity for participants that have missed the session for one reason or the other to catch up at their own time. With regards to micro-credentialing, I also think that this is an important step towards unlocking opportunities for Africans seeking grants or scholarships in other parts of the world, basically by being able to verify their academic records, given the history of frauds and negative stigma that has affected Africans in this part of the world. The pandemic has sort of accelerated the adoption of technology in the edutech space. Hopefully, we'll begin to see more and more fruitful outcomes from students being able to learn at their own comfort or being able to take hands-on courses online and be able to access a wider amount of resources.
We all know that such a platform has great benefits, but at the same time, I would think that there are some key challenges that you may have experienced while participating in this pilot. I don't know if there are any, but if there are, if you could touch on what are some of the key challenges that you've experienced and also how you have addressed some of these challenges as an institution, because we believe this would provide insights to other universities that may be thinking about how to use blockchain or similar platform in coming up with such to benefit their students.
Regarding challenges that we have faced rolling out this initiative, I think initially it bordered on getting the students to understand the potential that this offers and getting them to commit to it. And so there were instances where the links will be sent and students haven't been able to access it. What we did to be able to provide some explanation and some education was to organize various Zoom sessions and various briefings where we gave the students an opportunity to ask as many questions so that they could understand the potential that the platform offers. And once they understood the opportunities available to them as far as this platform is concerned, they were able to commit fully. Because as I've already mentioned, the potential that this offers is enormous. To have your credentials available to as many employers as possible, it helps you to be able to gain a competitive edge compared to others who have not been involved in this exercise. And once they understood, they were able to commit fully, and we have made substantial progress as far as this
is concerned.
Great, Jerry. And going to you, Yaz, as the company that is supporting the development of this platform, what are some of the challenges and constraints you have seen students and their universities experience in using blockchain-based platforms?
Jerry actually summed it up very well. I think the main constraint or challenge that we are overcoming is student engagement and understanding of what a digital credential holds. As that digital credential becomes more sophisticated and has more data underpinning it, people will start to see the very clear benefits in being able to be more distinct from your peers and your cohort, especially in certain areas where you have specific strengths. So that's one aspect around student engagement and their commitment, and Jerry spoke to it very eloquently. The other area that we've really noticed in terms of the Learn Anything platform, people accessing the courses and finding the relevant courses that they wanted to do, I'd say it's more of a constraint. I think there is some further development to make that seamless process from people coming to a portal where they can see aggregated courses to then being able to go into those learning experiences and having the credentials issued seamlessly, I think would be one aspect of the learner experience that we could improve further. But I wouldn't say it's necessarily a challenge within a pilot like this, where actually the whole ecosystem is trying to be evidence. And again, by showing that full learner experience from finding the skills gap that they wanted to address, seeking the courses to be able to improve their skills in those areas, having those credentials aggregate with their transcript from their universities, as KNUST have done, and then being able to be visible in an anonymous way to recruiters where their profiles can be identified as a potentially perfect fit for specific roles or development. That, as a whole concept, is being perfectly, or not perfectly, and I mean, very few things are perfectly done first time off, but for a project has been scoped out on the appropriate level. We've tried to do it in a focused way, where we've learned from each of the bits of feedback, where we've had feedback from Jerry and other academics across the partnership, where we've had feedback from IBM and FutureLearn, feedback from GIZ. I think that's made this partnership really successful in the way that we've achieved what we have, because that feedback has been constant and iterative. So where there have been challenges and constraints, I feel that we've done fairly well in addressing those as they come up.
Thanks, Yaz. I know within this pilot also, times when students have challenges with terms of connectivity and some of these challenges as well. But hopefully as students see the benefits more and more, and universities also develop further in terms of the connectivity on campus, would have stronger participation as well from the students. It would be much easier for them to access some of these digital platforms.
Can I just add one final point on that, which was around students accessing the learning? So particularly with some of the asynchronous micro-credentials from IBM, etc., the power of students being able to access those asynchronously and seeing students engaging at all hours of the day, not just the set work hours of the day that most students are assumed to study. We noticed that there were students studying throughout the day whenever it fitted around their lives. And I think that's the power of education, where it's made in certain ways to be much more accessible like this. We saw the behaviours being challenged as well from some of the assumptions that may have been held previously.
Thank you very much for adding that bit to the conversation, Yaz, because I think that's very critical because of the flexibility that such an online digital platform provides students access to 24 hours a day, access to coursework that they could take and trainings that they could have. That's the power of it, as you rightly put it. Jerry, back to you. As we continue on this journey of the Learn Anything platform and recruitment dashboard that we've been talking about today, what do you see the role of micro-credentials and digital transcripts playing in universities and the lives of university students? Because it's not common yet in Africa to have most universities recognizing some of these newer ways of doing things.
Self-learning is a preference as far as students are concerned. Normally, when it comes to acquiring a job that you really are interested in, it is not just the traditional courses that you pick up in your bachelor's that actually land you the dream job that you are looking for. Several instances, it is the additional value that you add to yourself through things that you have learned on your own, which eventually will land you that job. And so the opportunity that this particular platform offers, where students have the ability of picking up courses and gaining micro credentials and adding a lot more value to their transcript, is actually the way to go moving forward. And as employers continue to make demands and expectations of graduate students and students who have graduated, I am thinking that the future is what we actually are looking at as far as this particular initiative is concerned, where students, in addition to the traditional courses that they pick, go on their own to learn a lot of other courses, which eventually adds value to themselves and enhances their chances and their opportunities of landing the particular job that they need. So KNUST has piloted it. Moving forward, I am thinking that many more universities are going to come on board, and it is going to be the order of the day as far as student training is concerned.
Thanks very much, Jerry, for that. I think you really made a good point. And as we see results, for example, from some of these platforms, such as what we've been working on, perhaps it will open opportunities for other universities to also consider doing the same and encouraging their students to take these courses online to top up whatever they've been learning in class. And also the idea of the digital transcripts, where students don't have to go back to their universities every time to ask for a transcript in hand, but can have it attached to their online profiles and various recruiters can have access to that. I think that's a strong value there as well, as you rightly put it. Yaz, what are the biggest takeaways from the pilot so far for a company like VerifyEd with respect to the benefits of blockchain, but also risks that are associated to using blockchain in education and how we can mitigate them?
I'd love to speak about that. And it's a great question as well, the risks of new technology as it becomes more prominently used. For several years, blockchain's been critiqued and criticized because the most notable names that utilize it, for instance, Bitcoin or Ethereum, some of the crypto projects that people will have heard of, are said to be so energy intensive, said to use so much electricity for the mining, for the use, for the creation of transactions, etc., and for the actual finding of those cryptocurrencies. That's been associated with blockchain A, not being scalable necessarily, and B, being very costly. Both of those risks have been mitigated in recent years, both with projects becoming more knowledgeable, or people becoming more knowledgeable with blockchains that are far more scalable, more cost effective, are able to be utilized in the tens of thousands without incurring huge costs that are prohibitive to many universities or educational institutions in utilizing them for every credential they issue. But I think those risks are subsiding now, and that many more enterprise versions of blockchain are being used by organizations for provenance of all sorts of goods that are traveling around the world, as well as for financial transactions. We're seeing that scaling far quicker. So I think the risks of blockchain are reducing. In this instance, I think the ledger that we've chosen has actually allowed us to be able to do this very efficiently and at scale. But the benefits for me far outweigh the risks. We've already heard from Salah some of the risks around fraud. That's one of the main reasons we founded the company, was that people were just trusting a few household names of universities rather than the diversity that exists around the world and the talented learners that exist around the world in many more universities. And so by being able to say any certificate or credential on our platform is from a verified source and an issuing body internationally where those skills are evidenced through the learning experience, gives a lot of trust. So we can then have freely verifiable credentials. People can trust what they're seeing from an individual that's being shared as a lifelong learning ledger or by searching across the learning landscape. But it also offers a richness of data. And the benefit there is that from going from a piece of paper with a logo on it you're actually starting to drill down and say, what are the skills within that learning experience? What are the skills within this module within the degree, let alone the degree itself? And starting to get that granularity of data that within a digital credential can really help employers, recruiters, and individuals better articulate what they're looking for and find people who are more aligned with the purpose or the role that they're trying to fill. So I do see that there were risks historically with new technology, but I think those are being mitigated very rapidly now, and we're seeing lots of enterprise blockchain scaling, but the benefits far outweigh it. And that beauty of someone showing their lifelong learning journey is one of the most exciting things that we've created, and one of the things that I'm most proud about being involved in this project.
Thanks, Yas. So, Sally, as we continue on this journey of the Learn Anything platform, beyond this pilot, what would be IBM's interest in partnership, and what are some areas of potential partnerships that we could explore together, particularly between IBM and the ACE project? I know we have various initiatives together, but I'm just throwing this over to you in terms of what you see as potential way forward.
Sure. I think we have seen some very encouraging results from the pilot, and it serves as a motivating factor to expand the scope of the participants and include more students from other institutions in Africa. Beyond the training and the certification, we would like to start seeing some real projects where the students are putting the skills they've learned to practice by building solutions to some of Africa's grand problems. Perhaps one way we can look into doing this is through hackathons and competitions where students can be encouraged, and also to connect them with more industry players where they can get more support. At IBM, we have specialized focus programs such as the Startup with IBM initiative, which gives developers access to credits and platforms to enable them leverage on things like the IBM Cloud, the IBM Watson platform, which is our cognitive AI platform, where they can leverage APIs into their solutions. We're here to support, and hopefully we can see more real projects to address some of the societal problems that we've seen in Africa.
Thanks, Sally. And that's very encouraging to hear. And we can think about how we can link the students who have their profiles on this platform to such opportunities within IBM, I think, so that they can have some of those practical experiences as well in terms of actual projects. I think that would be an area that we'll be interested in. Jerry, beyond the pilot, what would KNUST like to see this initiative become?
This is an initiative which should not remain the preserve of a selected few students. To have an external organization put a stamp on your training and say that you have the potential and you have the capacity to do ABC, and to have all the employers see this, it makes you globally employable. And moving forward beyond the pilot, what will I want to see? From where I sit in the university, my expectation will be to make it university-wide. We ran the pilot for the Faculty of Electrical and Computer Engineering, where we focused on students from computer engineering and from computer science. My expectation will be that what we have realized at outcomes, what we have realized at results from the pilot, is shared with a bigger university community or bigger university management, so that we explore opportunities of expanding it to cover a lot more students. So what I want to say regarding how students can get to know this and also benefit from it is, first and foremost, for faculty to float more or less flyers as far as this initiative is concerned, where meetings can be organized online, where students who are interested can actually sign in and then have interaction with faculty members who are leading this, so they can provide information with reference to the potential that this offers. One of the key players also who play a very important role as far as students getting information about this is concerned are the various heads of department, the deans, and also the provost. And so whilst we seek to make it a universal opportunity, my expectation will be that for the Africa Centers of Excellence who are involved in this project, it will be important that heads of department, deans, and even provosts make this information available to the students so that they can sign on to it. What I've come to realize with students is that once such information or such pieces of information are coming from the top, they are bound to get involved.
And I know it's been a challenge with universities having been closed as a result of COVID. So we've had a lot of delays, but there's been a lot of effort on the part of the focal points, such as Jerry, to really move this agenda forward to ensure that word is getting to the students and to the other faculty members at the universities, and also the right university leadership, so that they are aware of what is happening, because eventually we don't want to end up with issues on data privacy issues, right? So it's a whole of university approach that is important in moving this agenda forward. But critical element has been getting the word out and sensitizing students.
And so by way of concluding remarks, I will say that the pilot so far has been very successful, and it is a dream and it is a hope that the entire university community, especially our students, can all benefit from this.
Thank you so much, Jerry. And that was a powerful ending to today's podcast. And I've really enjoyed hearing from Jerry, Sally, and Yaz, your perspectives on this pilot initiative that we've been working with you all together on, and the vision that we all have in seeing that this ecosystem grows and thrives into something bigger, where, as I started at the beginning of the podcast, that we have over 70 centers of excellence that we are working with across more than 50 universities in 19 countries that we are working with within the Africa Centers of Excellence program. And so we have huge opportunities to really make this accessible to various universities and various students. And so we'll have to think about what it would mean to bring this to scale. Gentlemen, this has been a very interesting and captivating discussion. We have addressed the benefits and some of the risks related to blockchain and discussed a use case in higher education around the Africa Centers of Excellence program and this pilot initiative specifically. We cannot stress enough the importance of creating such an ecosystem and bringing together various stakeholders from universities, including the students, the faculty members, vice chancellors, the registrar's offices, because we deal with transcripts here, looking at various employers. In this case, within the pilot, we are piloting with two employers that are looking to hire students with digital skills, advanced digital skills, within two universities, KNUST, as we heard from Jerry, and Moore University. And then we also have talked about content providers like IBM and FutureLearn that have provided free online courses for our students to go in and take to fill in the gaps that they've seen within their own portfolios, their personal profiles, to identify these gaps and fill those gaps with these courses. And the beauty of having these micro-credentials and courses available online is that students can self-educate themselves outside of their regular coursework and add knowledge as they move along to fill in gaps in their learning. So this has been great, and it's been an honor being the moderator. And also major thank you to the EdTech colleagues at the World Bank. And a very big thank you to my other colleagues that work on the Africa Centers of Excellence projects across the World Bank.